This is John Cannon for Science Notes, and today I'm taking a look at one of our more unlikely ancestors, a virus. Most of us have played host to these tiny invaders and no doubt suffered the consequences in the form of chickenpox, the flu, or the common cold. A virus is really just a few genes that help it make more of itself surrounded by a protein coat. It's not really even living by most scientists' definition, but when a viral attacker makes its way into our cells, we can feel the irritating effects for weeks. Some viruses, however, stick around a lot longer. Millions of years ago, a few of these ancient viruses didn't make our ancestors sick, but instead took up residence within their DNA. They're called endogenous retroviruses, which are basically stretches of genetic information that still exist among our genes today. At first, scientists thought the genome just sequestered these foreign genetic splices and forgot about them. But a team based at the University of California at Santa Cruz has found evidence that this viral DNA may have sweeping effects in the way genes express themselves. During the time of the dinosaurs, a few specialized viruses called retroviruses, because they use single-stranded RNA rather than double-stranded DNA, penetrated the defenses of sperm and egg cells. By a trick of nature that still puzzles researchers, the retrovirus spliced pieces of its genetic code into the DNA of our ancestors' reproductive cells. From that point on, each reproductive cell divided into 2, then 4, then 8 cells, and so on. Eventually, you get an entire organism, each one of its cells carrying a little bit of that retroviral genetic code. Endogenous retroviruses have been likened to fossils because they're a record of the past existing within our own bodies. But unlike the inert bones paleontologists dig up, these intruders may have helped shape the way our ancestors evolved.
My name is Ting Wang. I'm a postdoc fellow in Dr. David Hausler's lab.
Wang is a bioinformaticist at UC Santa Cruz. He and his colleagues have pioneered a way of sifting through the human genome to unlock its secrets using an advanced computer called a genomic browser. And recently, they've made some fascinating discoveries about endogenous retroviruses. For a long time, scientists thought these remnants of past retroviral attacks weren't doing much. That is, they were part of the 90% of our DNA, called junk DNA, that doesn't code for any particular trait like eye color, hair color, or how tall someone is.
When junk DNA was first defined, people were actually pretty careful not to call them garbage. They called them junk because we don't know the function of this part of the genome. They're junk, but they may be useful, and there's always treasure hidden in the junk.
Some of these endogenous retroviruses may help turn hundreds or thousands of genes on or off. Some serve as little landing pads called binding sites along strands of our DNA for molecules known as master regulators. These master regulators attach themselves to these landing pads along our genome, and from this platform can exert their control. Think of a master regulator as the controller of assembly lines, and the endogenous retroviruses are the platforms on which the controller can stand. Let's say that one assembly line makes blue cars and one makes red cars. If the controller can reach the red switch, the assembly line produces only the red cars and not the blue. In the same way, from a specific spot in our DNA, a master regulator can, for example, turn on only the genes that code for blonde hair and not those that code for brown. All the information and equipment is still there to make brown hair, just as with the blue car assembly line. But whether the blonde hair or brown hair switch gets flipped depends on where the master regulator can land, or bind to our DNA, which, it turns out, is often determined by endogenous retroviruses. In other words, these invaders play a critical role in how genes are translated into traits.
The impact of endogenous retrovirus to the host genome is very profound.
Endogenous retroviruses make up at least 8% of our DNA. This weird symbiosis is one Wang sees as similar to another relationship within the human body.
I'll make an analogy here. So if you look at a human being, in fact, if you count the cells, the number of cells in a human, only 10% of the cells are human cells. 90% of the cells are bacterial cells in our gut. We maintain a symbiotic relationship between the bacterial community and ourselves, and we benefit from each other.
And that analogy extends to our relationship with endogenous retroviruses. Both the host, in this case we humans, and the ancient retroviruses benefit from the agreement. By providing a workspace for those regulators, our ancestors evolved in new and different ways. And retroviruses, in taking advantage of this careful balance within our DNA, have locked in a way to ensure the survival of their genes for eons.
Now you look at a human genome, this is a similar situation. Many of the genetic materials in our genome are foreign. It's really hard to say, you know, how much of our genome are unique for human.
For Science Notes, I'm John Cannon.